Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. Glad to have you with me today. This is Pastor Paul White. And whether you're listening on radio, internet, downloaded through iTunes or even on CD, we're so glad that you're with us today, and I hope that we can bless you as we take you to the concluding portion of the sermon we started on Monday. If you missed any of this week, listen at the end of the program for how you can get a copy of this entire sermon, and we'll send it to you as our gift for you being a faithful listener. Here is the conclusion of "The Call to Liberty is a Revolution, Not a Rebellion."
Who bewitched you? Who tricked you? The word bewitched, by the way, in the Greek, enchantments. The word is the same word they would use in Greek literature for snake charmer. Who stuck the snake charmer in front of you, convinced you that you're able to do this by doing good? Wasn't the one that called you. Verse 9, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Now, I've preached this way, and I've heard it preached this way. A little sin makes you a sinner. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. You know why he's not been talking about you sinning at all in this chapter? What is the little leaven then? A little law hurt the whole body. Stick a little bit of works righteousness in your life, just a little bit. And before you know it, there'll be a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Paul knew that you stick a little yeast in, the whole thing will rise. You don't need to put yeast in the whole thing. Boil the house up. You don't need to put equal proportion yeast as you did everything else, but you just need a little bit. So the enemy knows he doesn't need to shroud you with the law. Just get a little bit of law. Just get a little bit of guilt. Get a little bit of condemnation. Get a little bit of feeling like you gotta earn it. Get a little bit, be a little bit convinced that it'll work if you do this or this or this. And I still see it even in a grace church like this one we're just dripping in the message of God's grace. I still hear people talking amongst themselves of, you know, I don't know, maybe I need to fast for it. Well, fast for it, God will answer me. And you know what that says? God doesn't want to give it to me. God wants me to earn it. So I'm going to go out and earn it. Little leaven, leaven the whole lump. Little confusion causes a big problem. You add a little bit of works, thinking that a little bit of works will help you go a long way. And a little bit of works will go a long way, all right. Go a long way the other way. Until before long, you're trusting less and less in His grace and more and more and more. This is why it is dangerous to go to a revival that talks about all the things that we need to do. You walk in that room at 6:55, church starts at 7, you walk out at 9 or 10 o'clock, and all you heard was a rah-rah rally about how you need to change. You got a little bit of leaven in the lump. Without pouring in Jesus and His finished work, you're going to walk out of there and your life becomes saturated by works. Saturated. There's no happiness on the other side of that. What is it called? Verse 1. Be ye not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Pastor, how's that being entangled again? If I'm saved and then I go on and do works, I wasn't entangled in works when I was a sinner. That's where we're wrong. Every sinner in the world is living beneath the yoke of the law. Because every sinner in the world is trying to get to heaven based on what good they've done. Ask them. You don't believe what I'm saying? Ask any given sinner at random that believes in a heaven, how do you think you're going to get there? 100% of them will give you works. Well, I think if you're a good guy, you just do your best, and you pray once in a while, and you know, you don't cheat on your taxes, and you don't cheat on your spouse, and you help little ladies across the street, and you mow your neighbor's yard once in a while, and you don't get drunk too much, and I think you'll make it. I think God, man, a good man's good deeds far outweigh his bad deeds, man. God knows our heart. He knows we're trying. I think I'll make it home. Sound familiar? Man, I've witnessed so many sinners that say stuff like that. And they're being genuine. They're being honest. You know what they're living under? Works. Well, they're so bound. There's no way they can ever be free. Now, they're free to sin. You're free to sin. That's how we started this message. They're free to sin. They're not free to be happy. They're not free to live their life. They'll never love life and see good days. They love moments. They don't love life. That's why once the moment is over, they keep waiting for next weekend so they can have another moment. You got it better than that. You love life and see good days every day. All day, every night, all night, every day of your life, love life, see good days. Why? Because you're not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. The same junk you came out of. Why run right back under works and performance when Jesus has already worked and performed so that you could be free? I have confidence in you. Verse 10, I like how he preaches. Watch this. I have confidence in you through the Lord. Now, this is the same guy that two chapters ago said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now he wants to bring you back. He says, I have confidence in you that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Now, this was a retort against those who were preaching the works of the law. You see, God take care of that. God's going to take care of them. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now, verse 11 gives a little insight into some of the accusation against Paul. Paul was being accused in the Galatian church. Somebody had heard Paul mention circumcision. As a matter of fact, Paul circumcised Timothy early on when he won Timothy to the Lord, and the Jews were real offended that Timothy was a Gentile. So Paul circumcised him. I believe it was a move Paul regretted later. This is before Paul came into the fullness of the message of grace. But Paul circumcised Timothy to get the Jews off his back. Now, when he gets to Galatians, he's been accused of preaching circumcision. So Paul says in verse 11, if I'm preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? In other words, I'm not preaching it. I can't be preaching it at all. You say I'm preaching, I can't be, because if I was preaching it, nobody'd be mad at me. If I was preaching works, nobody would be upset. If you want to keep the most of the church off your back, throw in some works. Tell them they got to get busy doing this and that and this and do that and go there and don't go there and stop it. Get up and preach a list of movies they need to quit watching and music they need to throw out and stuff they need to burn. If you want to get the church off your back, you know what? This is why I got tired, man. I got discouraged of getting hit for preaching grace until the Holy Spirit began to show me the alternative. Say, look, if you want to go back to doing that, you can get everybody off your back. They'll leave you alone. But you're going to have to just jump right back into Galatians 5 and 1. You're going to have to go right back into being the yoke of bondage. You're going to have to go right back to being entangled again in it. Would you rather take some shots once in a while for setting people free by God's grace and by God's favor than to keep interjecting more law, more works? You know, and works preaching is the laziest preaching in the world. You don't need to study to get up and tell people what movies not to watch for 20 minutes. You don't need to know one verse. Just get up and scream about stuff you don't like. People in your church been living wrong? Get up and preach on it. Do a lot of counseling. Find people and figure out stuff they're dealing with. Get up and do a sermon on it. Punch the rest of the church so you can go after that one person that didn't even show up that day. They're not even there. You go knock the rest of the choir out so you can go get that one. It's easy. Grace made me dig in the Word, man. Forced me to go deep into God's Word and say, give me this answer, give me this answer. Scripture after scripture of God's grace. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul experienced. Look, I'm not preaching the things they say. If I am, I wouldn't be getting persecuted. If I wanted the persecution off of me, I'd start telling you guys to do works of the law. Verse 12, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, I want you to notice the allegory of verse 12. Circumcision, cut off. Did you get it? Paul did that on purpose. Believe me. I guarantee it was Paul doing that. He said, I wish they were cut off. You preach to me about telling you guys need to be circumcised. I'm going to show you what needs cut off. They need cut off that preach to you the law. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 13, for brethren, you've been called to liberty, to be free in Christ Jesus. But don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. This means two things of which this whole lesson tonight has led you up to. Don't use your grace, number one, as an excuse to go sin. I know all my sins, past, present, and future, are covered, so I'm going to go do this and ask God and just believe God's already forgiven me. Ha ha ha. Watch this. I don't believe anybody that's been born again, that's understood God's grace, can live easy in that lifestyle. There's an aggravation in your spirit because the Holy Ghost is screaming about your righteousness and you keep screaming to Him to shut up. Because that's what that lifestyle is telling the Holy Ghost to do. Shut up! I don't want to be told I'm righteous. I want to live unrighteous. Now I'll come back to church now, Holy Ghost. Just leave me alone because I'm righteousness of God. No, and I believe everybody here understands how crazy and foolish that is. But that's only part of what Paul's saying, because Paul really didn't believe any of us are going to live that way. But he does know that every now and then we're going to look at our neighbor and see how in bondage they are to works, and we're going to want to use our liberty as an occasion to show them up in the flesh. And so we're going to look at them and go, they don't believe in doing this. I'm going to show them that you can do this and be saved. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I'm going to do that. Paul saw this as a lack of love. That's why the last part of the verse says, but by love, serve one another. You can't love a guy, please hear this, you can't love a guy you're trying to show up. If you're out to show somebody up, can't love them. Wouldn't do that to your own family because you love them. Matter of fact, you'd protect them from getting shown up because you love them. Can't love somebody you're out to show up. I cannot say to the detractors of grace, I love you guys, I'm praying for you, and then every time I get a poison letter or email, write one back just as vicious. How can I do that? How can I come fight fire with fire and still say I love you? Paul said that's using your liberty as an occasion to go after somebody in the flesh. For all the law, verse 14, is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Look what happens. Has Jesus fulfilled the law? Is Jesus in you? So Jesus will love to the fulfillment of the law. Which means, when you accept God's grace, what will happen in you, slowly but surely, is you will start to love the people around you as much as you love yourself. I gotta close with this. I got more verses, but I'm gonna close for time's sake. Under the old covenant, love was at its apex when you could love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul. Here's the problem. Can't do it. Nobody can do it. You can't love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul. Can't do it. It's impossible. So the new covenant was, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Here is the fulfillment of love. That a man love his neighbor as himself. And perfect love in us casteth out all fear. So the new covenant idea of love is accept how loved you are and love comes out of you. Old covenant idea of love, love God more. Aren't you glad you're under the new covenant? Where His love comes in you and you love out? We're experiencing a grace revolution because we're seeing grace change us from a doctrine and a religion of works to a relationship of grace. But we are not seeing a grace rebellion, where we rebel against the law so that we can show up the establishment. Let's go show the established church that we have grace. They go to church, we won't go to church. They give, we don't give. This is us living by the law in the same identical spirit. In Jesus' name, may we. Let me say to you, I have confidence in you. That you be not that way. I'll borrow from a better preacher than myself. I have confidence in you that you are not that way and that you will not become that way by God's grace.
Well, that brings to a conclusion the sermon titled The Call to Liberty is a Revolution, Not a Rebellion. We started this on Monday. We've continued a little bit every day. In the event that you missed a little bit of it, I hope that you'll want to get all of it. And even if you heard it all, maybe you need a copy of your own. For being a listener of the Deeper Daily broadcast, contact us and tell us that that's where you heard the message and it'll be yours free of charge. We'll send it to you and get it to you on CD. It's about an hour long. Get it to you as quick as we can. Ask for it by the title, The Call to Liberty is a Revolution, Not a Rebellion. If you can't remember all that, just ask for The Call to Liberty and we'll know what you're talking about and we'll get it out to you as quick as we can. Hope you have a great weekend and I hope you'll be with me again next week. Until then, this is Pastor Paul saying God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.